Bibles. And if you want to, it'd be wise to turn to Genesis 1 and hold your finger there and then turn over to Matthew 22. We're going to be reading from Matthew 22 for our text, but we're going to be going to Genesis and we're going to park there for a little bit, okay? I can't tell you the times that over the years that Christians have come up to me and said, "Preacher, is it true that there's no marriage in heaven?" Folks, there is marriage in heaven because we are going to be married to the Lamb. But that wasn't what Jesus was talking about when Jesus said there was no marriage in heaven. He was talking about marriage between believers, And that is hard for some people, hard for them to grab hold of or to, let me say, be happy about. But I want y'all to remember something. This is heaven we're talking about. Amen? This is heaven we're talking about. And everything in heaven is better than what it is down here. Look with me in Matthew chapter 22. We're going to begin reading with verse 23. The Bible says, "The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there was with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh, and last of all the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you and praise you again, God, for gathering of being able to gather in thy house. And God, we thank you so much for each and every one that's here. God, we love them with all our heart. And you know, Lord, we want to be a blessing to them. We want to learn. We want to grow. And Father, I pray as we go through this tonight that God, you'll put in our hearts, Lord, even more of a longing for heaven. That God, we might just catch a glimpse of, Lord, the joy and God, the wonder of that place that Jesus is going to prepare for us. So God, have your way. And God, use this for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. In our text, the Sadducees came to Jesus with a question. Now, folks, it was not an honest question. It was a question designed to trap the Lord. It was a question, beloved, designed to prove him wrong. Because Jesus talked about the resurrection. Amen? Now, you see, the Sadducees were the liberals of their day. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe, beloved, in the resurrection of the dead. So they came up with a hypothetical situation concerning the resurrection. They said, "Master, Moses taught us that if a man married and has no children and then he dies, his wife should take his brother, or his brother should take his wife and have children in her first husband's name. But suppose, Lord, suppose She had no children with the second husband, and he dies. And the same happens with the third husband, and he dies. And all the way down to the seventh brother. Master, whose wife is she? Or will she be in the resurrection? Seeing they all had her to wife. And Jesus immediately gives, beloved, the answer. And it's an answer that has caused all kinds of consternation among Christians. Jesus said this. He said, ye do err, not knowing the scripture, nor the power of God. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. And Christians say, what? What? You mean, preacher, there's no marriage in heaven? How can that be? What about my wife? What about my husband? I don't like that, preacher. I don't like that. I want us to be together forever. Folks, I suppose this is one of the most controversial aspects of heaven in all the Word of God. You see, we just can't seem to grab hold or to picture heaven without our husband or without our wife with us as our husband and our wife. Now, tonight, I want to show you from the scripture why there is no marriage in heaven among believers. But I warn you, you've got to understand, beloved, you got to have a basic understanding of why God ordained marriage in the first place. And you've got to, at the same time, have a basic understanding of heaven. But before we get into this, listen to what I'm going to say now. God did not say, or Jesus did not say, you wouldn't know that person that was your husband or wife on earth. He didn't say that. He didn't say, and I've known some who have said, who say that, but Jesus didn't say it. He did not say you wouldn't be together with your husband and wife down here in heaven. He didn't say that. He said you will not marry nor be given in marriage in the resurrection or in the eternal state. So, why no marriage in heaven? Folks, why was marriage ordained of God to begin with? What's the purpose of marriage? That's what we need to answer. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to stay here for the rest of this. Genesis 1. Beloved, in Genesis 1, we're going to see that one purpose of marriage was for procreation. For procreation. Look with me in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Here, beloved, the Bible tells us that God created man in his own image, male and female created he them. Oh, how I wish this crazy crowd could grab hold of that truth. Beloved, God created them male and female. God did not give them the choice to decide what they wanted to be. They were what God created, amen? They were what God created. So, why did God, beloved, create them male and female? Verse 28. For them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Folks, here in chapter 1, God gives us a kind of summary of the creation of man. Now he goes into more detail in chapter 2. But here, beloved, we have a kind of summary. But in both chapters, beloved, it's obvious that God created one man and one woman. And that's all. That's all. He did not create 10 men and 10 women. He did not create 20 men and 20 women. He just created one of each. You see, God's aim and purpose was for this man and woman to fill the earth with people by procreation. They were to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And by the way, you young married couples, we need some babies in this church. I want more amens than that. Come on. Amen. We need some babies. Folks, God wanted them to fill the earth. And guess what? That's what they did. That's what they did. Whether we like it or not, guess what? We are all, beloved, related. We all came from Adam and Eve. And beloved, we're all the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. That's why, beloved, we all have a sin nature, because we came from Adam and Eve. And that nature was passed along, beloved, to our fathers and our forefathers and on up the line or down the line, every which way you want to go. That's why we have, beloved, a sin nature. We inherited that nature from Adam and Eve after they sinned. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says this: "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Sin entered by the first couple, beloved, and in Adam we all die, but by Christ, by one man, we all, beloved, can be saved. So one of the purposes of marriage was to populate the earth with people. Also, y'all know our God knows everything. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. And he knew when he created man and woman, beloved, God knew that Adam and Eve, that they would sin. And sin, beloved, would enter the earth, and with sin would come what? Death. And boy, we see that all around us today. Folks, to keep ahead of the death rate, men and women must be fruitful and multiply. They must be fruitful, and that's one big purpose for marriage. But guess what? None of that is true concerning heaven. None of it's true. In heaven, there is no sin. Amen? In heaven, there is, beloved, no curse. Therefore, beloved, there are no accidents. There are no tornadoes and hurricanes. There's no growing old. There's no murders. There's no wars. There's no death. There's no death in heaven. Beloved, there is only eternal, everlasting life. Amen? When the resurrection takes place, and all the righteous dead are raised, beloved, they will have glorified bodies like Jesus. They will dwell, beloved, in a state of no sin whatsoever. And because there is no sin, there is no death. The wages of sin is death. Amen? Where there is no sin, beloved, there's no death. They will live in a perfect environment. There will be nothing, beloved, to cause them to die. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no hurt. There'll be no pain. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no tears. There'll be no old age. There'll be no death. There'll be no death. So, with no death, there'll be no reason for procreation. You see, there'll be no reason for procreation. Therefore, there'll be no reason for marriage to exist any longer. Everyone, beloved, who is there, will live forever. Will live forever. No reason for redeemed man to multiply. Do you see? Do you see what Jesus meant when he looked at those foolish Sadducees and he said, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Oh, he hit it right on the head. For in the resurrection, they don't marry. They don't need, beloved, to bear children and multiply. But we all know that there's more to marriage than bearing children, don't we? Come on. We know that. So, let's see if there's another purpose for marriage. Look with me. God, beloved, ordained marriage not only, listen, for man to multiply, but also for companionship. Not just companionship, but, beloved, close companionship. Now, let me say that again. God ordained marriage, beloved, not only to procreate, but for companionship. Close companionship. Look with me in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Beloved, God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Folks, God had made man in his own image. So, God knew, beloved, all about this creature that he had made. And he knew, beloved, that inside the heart of man was a need for companionship. For companionship. Man was alone. There was no other creature like him, beloved. It was not a good thing. Even God, beloved, the one that man was created in the image of, even God wasn't alone, but Adam was. You see, God, beloved, there is one God, just one, but he was three in one. There was God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And so God, beloved, had that companionship of God the Father, had the companionship of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Son, the companionship of the Father. Even God had companionship. So man needed someone to be his companion, to have companionship with. And it had to be a close companionship, like the Father had with the Son and the Son with the Father. So, beloved, in creating the woman, God did an amazing, amazing thing. And I want y'all to listen carefully. Instead of taking the dust from the ground and making a woman like he did Adam, God, beloved, caused the sleep to come over Adam. And God, beloved, did the first operation in history. He took from the side of Adam, beloved, a rib. And the Bible says he closed the flesh thereof. And, beloved, from that rib, God fashioned a woman. Now, when Adam woke up and he saw Eve standing there, he said, wow! I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. No, this is what he said. He said, let me see if I find my place. I lost my place. All right. He said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And get this, they shall be one flesh. One flesh. Folks, not only did Adam have a companion, but beloved, she was a close companion. She was flesh of his flesh. She was one with him. One with him. This was the first marriage, beloved. The purpose was for companionship, that man not be alone, that he be, get this word, complete. Complete. What do you mean, complete, preacher? See, when God removed that rib, Adam was no longer complete. Now, when God first made him, he was perfect. But when God removed that rib, he was no longer complete. And beloved, so when God, beloved, presents woman to the man, listen, she completes him. She, beloved, was the completer. Boy, you women ought to be saying, praise God, amen. That's me. She was the completer. Now, man had a close companion. He had someone to love. He had someone to care for. He had someone, beloved, to share with. He had someone to be a part of. And woman had all those same things. All those same things. This is one of the purposes of marriage. But in heaven, there will be no need of close companionship with one person. There will be no need. Because we will have that closeness. Now get me, get this. With all who are there. Now I know that's hard for us to understand. But I'm telling you, that's the way it's going to be. That's the way. We're going to have that closeness with all who are there. You see, beloved, all the ones that are there will be flesh of his flesh. Amen? Of Jesus' flesh. You know, we'll all have glorified bodies like the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, beloved, that these bodies we have are terrestrial. They're corruptible. But when we receive that glorified body at the resurrection, beloved, we're going to have a celestial body. At the resurrection, we'll all, beloved, have a celestial body like Jesus has. Like Jesus has. We will all be like him. Like him. As Eve, beloved, was like Adam, we'll be like him. And we will be flesh of his flesh. We will be flesh of everyone else's flesh who is there. Because we're all going to have that same flesh. That's celestial flesh. Everyone will be our close companion. Everyone will love everyone else. Everyone will share with everyone else. Everyone, beloved, will be a part of everyone else. Everyone will care for everyone. Whoa, won't it be great? It'll be great. Oh, no need for marriage in heaven. Because, beloved, we will have companionship with all who are there through Christ our Lord, through Jesus. The purpose of marriage is procreation. The purpose of marriage is companionship. But there was, beloved, or is another purpose of marriage in God's heart and God's mind. Marriage, beloved, was to provide a helpmeet. A helpmeet. God said it's not good for the man to be alone. Verse 18 in chapter 2. I will make him a helpmeet. A helpmeet. Now what in the world is a helpmeet? Folks, these two words in English are one word in Hebrew. And it's the word Azir. Azir. And it means to help. It means to succor or to support. To support. You see, God knew that once sin came into the world, that Adam was going to need help. He was going to need support. Support. He would need someone to comfort him. He would need someone to help him to through the hard times. He was going to need someone to assist him in the struggles that he would face because of sin. He would need an Azir. And sure enough, boy, he did. He did. When he was cast out of paradise, there was Eve to encourage him. Adam, we can make it. You can do it. We can make it. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be like it was. But Adam, you can make it out here. You can make it out of paradise. You can make it. You can make it. She encouraged him. She helped strengthen him. I tell you, when I meet with folks who are getting married, I say, there was Adam. This is what I tell them. There was Adam. He couldn't run as fast as a deer. He was slow. He couldn't climb a tree as fast as the monkey. He couldn't throw a stone as far as the gorilla. But old Eve was standing by, and she said, "Oh, Adam, you can throw that stone so good. Oh, Adam, you can climb that tree so fast. Oh, Adam, you're so strong. You can throw that stone so far." In other words, women, your job is to lie. No, I'm just kidding. No, but it's to encourage. It's to encourage. It's to strengthen. And that, beloved, is what that word "help me" is all about. It's what it's all about. When Adam began to work so hard by the sweat of his brow, there was Eve to wash those calluses, to wipe his brow. Oh, he needed that. He needed that. When sickness came and Adam got sick, there was Eve to nurse him back to health. And oh, how cool her hand felt upon his brow. When Cain killed Abel, their son, there was Eve to console his breaking heart and to remind him that Abel believed in the coming Messiah. He believed in the blood. Oh, Adam, I know he's gone from us, but he's in heaven with our Heavenly Father. And the harsh winds came and destroyed the crops that he had worked so hard for, when the cupboard, beloved, was almost bare from no food, when the thorns tore his flesh, there was his helpmate helping and encouraging and lifting him up along by his side. Then when old age took its toll on Adam's body, and his eyes could hardly see anymore, and his joints hurt and ached so bad, and his ears did not hear like they could at one time, and his strength was gone, there she was helping and blessing and seeing him through. Even as he closed his eyes in death, she was there, reminding him that the paradise he lost was just on the other side of that river called death. You'll be there, Adam. You'll be there. Oh, how many times, beloved, through those 900 years did Adam thank God for his marriage, thank God for his helpmate who stood by his side. Oh, but there's no need. There's no need for a helpmate in heaven.
Because in heaven, beloved, there's no sickness. There's no pain. There's no storms to come. No hard times to go through. No troubles, no trials exist there. Oh, there, beloved, we'll experience only peace and joy and life everlasting. There, the Lord Himself will wipe the tears from our eyes. And that glorified body, beloved, will always be strong. It will always see. It will always hear. It will always be young. I'll tell you. I, like Adam, I thank God for my marriage. I thank God for my helpmate. I thank God for her. But we'll not need a helpmate there, folks. We'll not need one there. And I'm so glad for you ladies' sake. Because listen, beloved, you deserve rest and joy and peace just like the men. I'm glad for you. They deserve a place like heaven too. A place of peace, a place of rest, a place of life to the fullest. To the fullest. Tell me, are you concerned because there'll be no marriage among believers in heaven? Well, yeah, preacher. I love my wife. Oh, listen to me. You will love her far, far more in heaven. Far, far more. Preacher, I'll miss the closeness. Listen to me. You will be closer to her and everyone, beloved, for far more in heaven than you are here. Preacher, I'll miss the ecstasy of marriage. Folks, all of heaven, listen to me, all of heaven is continual ecstasy forever and ever and ever. It's heaven, folks. It's heaven. And everything of heaven is far, far better than anything you got down here. So much greater is what's over there that you cannot imagine it. In your wildest dreams, you can't imagine it. No marriage in heaven, Jesus. No marriage in heaven? No. Marriage will have no purpose in heaven. No purpose. Folks, all that marriage supplies, listen, all that marriage supplies will be met 10,000 times more in heaven. In heaven. When you enter that eternal state. I'm going to know her. I'm going to know that she was my wife on earth. And I'm going to love her more than I love her now. And you say, I can't do it. Oh, you don't know what. You know not the power of God. You're going to love her more. And you're going to be closer. Closer. Closer than you've ever been down here. You're not losing anything. You don't lose anything by going to heaven, folks. You gain. I want you to close your eyes and stand with me if you would. Father, as we think about heaven, we remember, Lord, that it's only because of Jesus that God we have. We have that promise. It's only because He went to the cross and died for us and rose again. And we by faith have received him as Lord and Savior. And Father, because of that, oh God, what a future awaits us. What an eternity we're going to have. God, I pray as our minds think of heaven, God, we'll just want to praise you. We'll just want to thank you. We'll just want to give you all glory. Because, Father, these husbands and these wives that we love so much now, they're going to be there. We're going to be there. They're going to be there. And we will never, ever depart. God, we praise you. Father, we ask you to have your way. God, in this invitation, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Maybe you're here tonight and you just want to thank God that heaven is your home. You want to thank God for the helpmeet that he gave you here on this earth. Oh, but you want to praise him and give him glory for heaven. For that husband, for that wife. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? What a day, what a day. I want the resurrection to happen right now. I want the rapture to happen. I wish it to happen before we lift our heads. What a God, what a God. Thank God for the moving of his Holy Spirit. Y'all may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. I love you all so much. So much. I'm so excited for you. Oh, I catch a glimpse every once in a while of the splendor of heaven. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait for y'all to see it. What a day. What a day that's going to be. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Charles.